make us wise, keep us from pitfalls and traps that are set up for us. Give us prudence and knowledge to provide for our families. Let us lean on your unfailing love. Amen. So I'd like to just start today off with a bunch of Proverbs. We'll just go through them and let them speak to us. So very first, I'll give you just a second to pull up your Bible and hopefully follow along with me. We got Proverbs 14:8. I do have it up on the screen, but I like to start off a day with some Proverbs. Keep your mind nice and healthy and think about things. So Proverbs 14:8 says this, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." So next, Proverbs 21:5. "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. We'll keep going. Maybe it's best you follow on the screen because they're pretty short, and we'll just go rapid fire. On NIV, it's, yep. Yeah. Okay. So Proverbs 24:3-4. "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." Proverbs 27:12. "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." And Proverbs 27:23-27. "Be sure to know the conditions of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed and new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in, the lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats will provide with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family and to nourish your female servants." And then lastly, we have Proverbs 28:14. "Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble." So I went through a bunch of them. I think these are, I like Proverbs for just daily living, going to that book, especially applying it to maybe a budget. Because you can see here, God delights in the prudent, people who give thought to their ways, who think before they just rush into something. Budgeting is a prudent behavior that Christians should adopt. I've said many times, a budget isn't the answer. It's not going to solve your money problems. It's not, you know, just putting restrictions on yourself won't save you. The money's first a heart issue. A budget's going to help make a plan and carry it out. So what we're going to do is I'm going to try to show a budget where we give every dollar a name. So let's just first kind of start off with a couple keys to a successful budget. I have on the handout these listed out, but I also will go through them on the PowerPoint. So one, keep it simple. My sixth grade science teacher had this saying. It was an acronym he used, KISS, when we wrote our lab reports. Keep it simple, stupid. A budget just needs to be simple. It shouldn't take too long. It's not a Rube Goldberg machine. It should be something that you could put together in a short amount of time. I think a lot of budgets fail because maybe we put too much time and energy into them. So I'm going to show kind of some ideas on how you can make it simple and easy to manage. So this is kind of the time frames I think would be work for a budget. It might take 1 or 2 hours just to get started, but probably 10 minutes a day or maybe an hour a week to keep up. So we have key two, inflows equals outflows. This is a very critical part of budgeting. So if your inflows don't equal your outflows, so your income doesn't equal your expenses and where your money goes, you'll be dipping into debt or savings every month. So when you put together a budget, you have to make sure this happens. One thing to remember is, or to think about is, an outflow, a savings is an outflow. So when you put together a budget, you'll use savings as an outflow. Okay. Key number two, household involvement. This is really, really critical. You need everyone in your household to buy into this. If it's just one person doing it, it's not going to work. I mean, you have to have the whole household bought in. This means sitting together and actively working through it. What I mean by that, well, let's just say I'm sitting down with Katie and we're planning. Maybe we're thinking about groceries. So I say, well, honey, what does $70 a week sound like for groceries? Is that feasible? And maybe she'll retort, no, I mean, that's not. Look at last week or whatever. We have our parents coming to stay with us next week. We're going to need more than that. So, I mean, it's really key to talk the budget out. Another example is maybe your wife goes to you and says, oh, springtime is right around the corner. We need to go out and go clothes shopping for spring. And we only have planned $50 or so for clothing this month. Maybe we need an extra $100. So you'll have to figure out where to get that extra $100 from. Honey, that's going to take it out of what we're putting aside for emergencies, or maybe we need to think about this some more. A thing to be very careful of and not to do is to use a budget to restrict or control your spouse. So you don't go to your spouse, that's crazy. We need this money for emergencies. It's not a guilt trip. You don't use a budget as a guilt trip. It's mutual, working together. Sit down and make a plan. And
definitions are really important too. Mm-hmm. So like grocery wise, that was a struggle that Katie and I had in our budget.
Mm-hmm.
I define groceries as anything that you purchase, you know, paper products and stuff like that. And her definition was food.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's quite good to sit down and discuss that because definitions are important.
Yeah. Critical part of communication is having the same meaning for the same terms. Groceries to me is anything we buy at Cub, I guess. But yeah, that's really key because, I mean, when you're talking and one spouse is hearing something else, I mean, that leads to conflict. I know in my talking with Katie, sometimes we could be talking about two completely different things. Wish I could think of one right now, but I'm sure I could if I thought about it. So bottom line is household involvement. Get everyone involved. Sit down. Don't look like Congress or whatever where they bicker. And that's not what a household budget is. That's not the example we should follow. The example we should follow is in the Bible. We're one together, joined in one flesh. So what we do in our budget is that. Also, when I say household involvement, it'd be pretty wise to get your kids involved just to see what happens in a budget. This is very valuable knowledge for your kids. I'd never sat down with my parents to budget or anything. Their finances were pure mystery to me. It's just now today that I'm learning kind of how they handle money more, and it would have been helpful just to know some of the basics from them and learn. So that could be a very valuable thing for your children to have them at least involved. Maybe they don't need to be involved in every negotiation or conversation, but just to sit down and see what happens a little bit. So another key we have is track your results. It's very important to track your results. How do you get better if you don't know what you did? Really important. Tracking, that's really the whole purpose of a budget. You set your budget and then you see how you did. If you don't track your results, why would you go through all the hard work to budget in the first place? This can be very challenging and time consuming if it's not set up in a way that you can work quickly with it. Because I think it's very easy to forget to update it, or you get busy in life. So we need to find a method that works for us where we can do this pretty efficiently. But just a couple thoughts. At the end of each month, at the end of each budget month, when you get to see your actual results, that's what's going to help you make your budget for next month and know what to do or to expect in the future. It's very important. Some questions you might ask when you're looking at your actual expenses and planning the next month: is this really feasible? Look at what happened in last month. Maybe I need to budget more for this, or is this thing realistic? Or you can, knowing what happened last month, you can look and say, well, where can I reduce spending, or where can I afford to increase it? It's very valuable, and again, it's the most time-consuming part of it. Maybe it's not the most time-consuming. It's the most mundane, I got to go to my budget and update it. But you know what you can do? You can do this. You can budget some time on your calendar, if you use a calendar, or just a regular time each week or each day that you attack it. For me, I like to do it just right when I get home from work. I just throw a few numbers in the spreadsheet and if you do it daily, it's not that much. It doesn't take much time. And I know that's very hard to keep up with, and it takes patience and training and learning how to set aside that time, especially when everything in life comes at you. So just something to work at. Okay, our next key. Oops, I skipped ahead. To have some focused objectives. So just around the time of my wedding, I went to the doctor, and he said, I'm about 40 pounds overweight. So I set out to this big goal to lose 40 pounds. I did some extreme lifestyle, some extreme method of trying to do that. I went to the gym, ran a bunch, didn't really have any sort of, I just wanted to lose that 40 pounds. That was my goal. That was it. I just went to the gym, ran. Didn't really have anything that I can maintain realistically. It was really an overly ambitious goal. Just setting out to lose 40 pounds, that's it. I didn't really have any benchmarks to see progress. So as I didn't see progress in the mirror, I just kind of gave up, it's just too much to handle at once. So a good key to a successful budget is to have some small focused objectives that you can accomplish. I found some more success in working out with like these workout videos that are, P90X. That's one thing I think that makes that program so successful is it encourages you to have these small goals and see improvements. The same thing just goes for budgeting. Set some small focus goals for your budget. I read this book. It was by Dave Ramsey. He has these 7 baby steps that you can use. They're good budgetary goals. I'll just read them off to you. So the first one is to establish your budget is focused entirely on getting $1,000 in emergency savings. And then the next one would be pay off any debt, starting with the smallest principal balance, and then save 3 to 6 months in emergency savings. Start contributing 15% to your retirement. Fund your child's education, pay off your mortgage, build wealth, and give. That's his 7 baby steps that he has. And you could read more about that, but I think it's important if you set those type of goals to keep in mind to honor God with your wealth as you go along the way. But they're pretty good goals. What I like about them is you're focused on that one thing before you move on to the next. It's like that P90X. I can accomplish this one thing, and then that motivates me to the next. It's very helpful. Okay, next key to success: saving for the known, the inevitable, and the unexpected expenses. So I want to just explain what I mean by known, inevitable, and unexpected. By known expenses, that might seem obvious. You know, anything that you have, monthly payment or whatever, that's a known expense. It might be obvious to you, but there's some other known expenses that people don't treat as known expenses. For example, Christmas. I mean, your Christmas presents. I know a lot of people that say, oh, it's Christmas. How am I going to make it through? You know, how am I going to afford all the gifts that I plan to give, you know? Well, Christmas happens the same time every year, so I would consider that a known expense. You can set a budget in January and save up for it till December if you'd want to. So I'd put that in the known category. Same with maybe taxes, real estate taxes. Not everyone has an escrow account. An escrow account is kind of helpful, but each half of the year you're going to have to pay real estate taxes. Health insurance, you know, things like that. If you have health insurance, you have a deductible. If you know you have medical expenses, the deductible is a known expense for you. For Katie and I, the deductible is definitely a known expense in January because we meet our deductible in January. So we got to make sure we have the money for that. And there's many good tools that I can discuss in doing that. I'll get to those. Again, I'm just giving more examples of known expenses. If you're a sole proprietor, you know those quarterly tax payments are coming. You know you got to save for payroll. Payroll is very troublesome for a lot of small businesses. There's not a lot of small business owners in here, so I won't dwell on that. But maybe you will be a small business owner someday. Budgeting is also a very important part of business. Okay, so I think I've done enough on the known expenses. So what do I mean by inevitable? What is inevitable? Well, if you're a homeowner, you get to know what inevitable expenses are really well. For me and Katie, there's 2 inevitable expenses for us right now. We got our siding, which is amazing that it's held up this long. It's the old Masonite siding. It's 25 years old. It's inevitable that that's going to have to be replaced. So that's what we need to save for. New tires on your car. It's inevitable that you're going to be replacing those. A battery. It's Minnesota. It's winter. You got to save for those things. I like to have it in the different categories because it just helps me to be organized in my budget and what I'm saving for. So that's why I'm presenting it in this way. So then you got your unexpected expenses and your emergencies. How do you save for what you don't know is going to happen? Well, that's kind of tough to do. In those seven baby steps by Dave Ramsey, he suggested to have $1,000 starting off. That might not be enough for you. Maybe you have expenses that happen more frequently, just under your circumstances. But 3 to 6 months is a very, very good 3 to 6 months of expenses and not income. It's a very good emergency cushion. It's what people recommend. The reason why 3 to 6 months is that you don't want to have your emergency savings overfunded because it doesn't really generate any income. Your savings account, if you have one, it gets less than 1% of interest. So it's not really growing. And there's this real force that God has created called inflation. Inflation will deplete your money. It depletes your purchasing power because as the population increases, so do those who consume the goods. It's a truth that's present in the Bible. Okay, one last key, and then we'll go on to the live example I have planned. Be patient and just learn from each month and stick with it. There's going to be stumbling blocks along the way. It's not the fact that you stumble. It's how you act when you do stumble. God can help us when we stumble, and it's just a place to go over and over again. So stick with it. It's really all I have to say on that one. So I want to go to our live example here. I just have the website up here briefly. It's the same place I had that got the debt spreadsheet from. And, you know, I'm doing an example on this budget spreadsheet. It might not work for you, but it's just to get some ideas going. You might be a person that likes paper and pencil, and that's perfectly fine if that's what works for you. Or you might have some sort of program like Quicken that works for you. But this is free, and it's pretty intuitive and easy to use. I just have the website there. What you need to do when you go to vertex.com, www.vertex42.com, is right on the front of the page, there's a little spot that says budgeting. Click on that, and then there's a monthly family budgeting spreadsheet. They have like several other budgeting spreadsheets that are very useful. Some are a little bit more for the more experienced Microsoft Excel user than others, but I just picked out the one that's pretty practical and easy to use. So with that, I'll go over here and get this started. Alt tab, escape. Yeah, it might be easier to do this. Okay. Let's see. So if you could see that, all right. I look at this. There's some things I like to change on it, but it's kind of a good starting place. You see up here it has a summary where you can, you use this to kind of evaluate where you're at. And then it has these individual categories where you put your income, each category of expense. And then it has these little subcategories that you can go to and put how much your expenses are. To me, this is a little too involved for me. I don't like to have too many subcategories. I think it just makes it muddies it, makes it too complicated. So what I'll do is I'll go through and tailor these down to what really fits me. And I'll show you exactly what I would do. But I guess for today, I made a hypothetical family. Their last name is Jefferson, the Jefferson family. It's a husband and wife. They have no kids. So sorry, I don't have an example for for having kids, but we'll just go with this one. They're both earners, and their combined income together is $65,000 a year. They both receive biweekly paychecks. They're homeowners. They have student loans. They have one car with a loan and one with a loan paid off, or one they own entirely. I guess before we do that, I just wanted to show quick. I should have probably done this first, but you just input numbers, budget, actual, pretty easy, intuitive. Okay, so let's go to the Jeffersons. They're going to sit down and prepare their monthly budget for their first month. They sat down together, and this is what they did. This is what they, that's the final one. This is what they came up with. So they didn't use the gross income that they earned. They used the take-home pay. So they had to take a few steps. Well, it's easier to see the take-home pay because that's what goes into your bank, so it's really easy to see. But it is important to know where your money's going before it gets to your bank. So just to do that, they looked at their before-tax deductions. So they get about $2,500 a paycheck, which equates, this is both the husband's and wife's paycheck for 2 weeks because they're paid biweekly. This is for 4 weeks. So here's just a really quick important note, or it's a tip. One good thing about the biweekly paycheck, there's 26 pay periods in a year, and there's 12 months. So if you do the math, if you use two paychecks a month, you get two freebies a year where you get an extra paycheck in a month. So I personally like to base my budget off of two paychecks a month and then have, kind of an emergency side fund, have that extra paycheck out there to either to recover from something or to save or to give. It's just something, a unique feature about the biweekly paycheck that's kind of helpful. But anyways, so they get their federal tax withheld. They withhold a little too much, and they could change their deductions. But they like the refund at the end of the year, which isn't, it's best not to pay anything, just to not have a refund. But this is what they have. They have Social Security and Medicare. You can't really change those. State tax, you could change maybe they're withholding a little too much for their income. They pay $160 for health insurance, pretty good in health insurance plan. They have a flex spending account. What that is they put money aside pre-tax to fund medical expenses. There's two types of these plans. There's flex spending accounts, and then there's HSAs. The flex you have to use by the end of the year, but the HSA rolls over to the next year. They're really good for meeting the deductible. Katie and I have a flex spending account. It's just what's available through our plan, but I'd recommend them. They're very helpful. Then you don't have to pay tax on those funds, too, because they're pre-tax. And then they have a 401k, which they're contributing just enough to meet their employer's match. So if they contribute 70, their employer will also contribute 70 to their 401k. And then when it goes through the gauntlet, that's what they have left. So they end up putting it up here in the take-home pay, and that's really your first step. And then you'll see that amount goes over here to total income up on the top summary. So now the next steps are, I already have them up here just for easy purposes. I like to take this approach. The very first step I do is I'd put in all the bills that are monthly bills that are reoccurring that are due. For example, you see they have a mortgage with an escrow here. That's not going to change. Electricity, gas, and oil. Yeah, those change every month. You know, it's maybe they pay $150 in gas in February, but they'll pay less. Really good way to know these is just to go back to last year and see what it is. And usually it ends up being pretty close. Yeah, it raises a little bit, but cable, internet, you know, all the monthly expenses, start inputting those first. And then you input your tithing and gifts down here. So after doing that, you would input your personal living expenses. And these would be, these are a little bit more challenging to estimate, but you know, you can kind of get a feel for it. Like, rather than using all these categories like this, I just rather delete some of these. Oops, that's the wrong one. You see how it's groceries here, personal supplies, clothing, and then, you know, pet food. You know, when I buy groceries and I buy pet food, it's really from the same store and it's on the same receipt. I don't need an extra category for it. So I go through and I just delete a bunch of categories and make it fit for me. So for the Jeffersons, they go to Cub to get their groceries, so they'll just put it here. They estimated $300 a month. And how they did that is they just kind of figure their weekly, what they would pay for a week, multiply it by four. They go to Target to get their household supplies, so that's what they do. Maybe they go to Kohl's to get clothing. I think it's more tailored that way to their living. It makes more sense to them. When you have a receipt, you just really just pop it in here in the actual column. You don't have to separate it out or segregate it in any way. Makes it nice and easy. I hope I'm not going too fast, but okay. So I hope this is easy to follow and understand. See some of them like entertainment. If you go over here to their entertainment, they have like a laundry list of things. That's overwhelming to me. Just one entertainment fund, when you spend it, it's gone. That's makes it easier. You don't have to figure out, well, I could go to, you know, the movie fund is for this. No doing that. Just have one general fund for, just make it simple. Make it easy on yourself. It'd be easier to accomplish. You know, maybe $100 for entertainment seems, you know, not very much, but, you know, they have some student loans that they're going to work on. I'll just say a few things about the Jeffersons budget as it is now. What's really good about it is their income equals their expenses. They're off to a great start right there. What seems to be kind of a problem is they have loans. They have a student loan that they owe $350 a month, and that's their minimum payment. And then they have, you know, auto loan for $266 a month right here. And then they're also trying to save money. They have a bit of an emergency fund, but they're also trying to fund these things. They have $1,000 in emergency funds, and they have some money set aside for home repairs. But they're kind of split in some other different ways. So they might want to consider this to, since they have $1,000 in emergency savings, to just apply that to the student loan and get this thing paid off faster. Then they'll have an extra $350 to save. Just something to think about. Maybe in their individual circumstances, that's not practical, but just an idea. If you look down, man, they only budgeted $20 for their wife's haircut. I wonder where she goes. let's see, fuel, $60. They have a medical expense, $40. But remember they had that flex spending account? Well, that $40 out of pocket gets reimbursed. So they'll put it up here in the top. You also notice right here that they're paying their some repairs, maybe an oil change or something, and that they didn't do themselves. And then they also have vehicle registration this month. So they set aside some money for that. They have a fund for it. And so you'll see the expense here. Well, that's the auto insurance. I must have license and registration, and then they had some repairs. So that's what they do. They had to make up for those expenses that were reasonably foreseeable. I mean, you need an oil change and you need license and registration every year. So they were able to save for those. Okay. So that's what they just had initially. So let's look now at how they did, because throughout the month they ended up entering in all the expenses. Let's see what their end result was. So they'll input these tabs here. So you'll see, well, their oil change was a little less than they thought. They had to dip into their home repair fund for something. We'll see what that is in a little bit. They're pretty good about estimating electric and gas and oil. You can't be perfect on those. Looks like they had a plumbing surprise, and they pulled from their savings to pay for that. Wow, they did a really good job at balancing it out in the end. But they had to, because they had to have savings to cover for their expense. Well, let's say they didn't have that savings. Well, they're going to have to pay for it. It'll be unbalanced if I just delete that out. So now where's that $165 going to come from? Well, you're going to put it on a credit card or debt or something. It has to come from somewhere. But fortunately for them, they had something. Okay, let's see what else they did. Somehow they managed to spend less. I think what they did was the $300 they budgeted for groceries, they know that they paid about $70 a week, which ends up being $280. They budget a little bit more for that just to be a cushion. And they end up doing a little bit better, and they can find another place for that money. Same with Target. They ended up not spending that money. Let's just keep looking through. They didn't buy any clothes. Well, they spent a little bit more on birthday gifts. They kept really good to their budget. And look what they did. They took that extra money and they put it towards this student loan. Now, I don't know if this is a realistic example or not. It seems pretty perfect. I know more things like that, more things happen during a month, but it's just to get an idea of how things go. Let me show you a couple tips on how to keep track of the grocery bill. I mean, you're going to have a few different grocery receipts, right? Maybe this is kind of, I'll just show it. You can add an extra tab and just make some subtotals to add things up. It makes it real easy to input your receipts. So what happened here is, you just put the title there. When you have a receipt, you just input it. You can do one of two things. If you can remember this equation, you can go equals sum, and then scroll over what you want to add up. And it adds it up for you. Or you can just do the old-fashioned equal sign and plus if you don't want to do any equations, and just add them up. One advantage over that will save you some time over doing the old paper way. I like using Excel equations. I don't. And you can see, so how do I get this on the other page? Pretty easy. You just, so grocery, you'll just go equals, and you click back over to this tab. And these tabs are down below. If you can see them, I'm clicking right there. And then it'll carry it over to the next sheet for you. And just so you know, you can add an extra tab just by doing it. Maybe you're an Excel user, maybe you're not. They're pretty, if you can have someone guide you through it, it's pretty easy to learn. A very good and valuable skill for budgeting. So you can see kind of how things played out. They ended up balancing their budget. So that's really all I wanted to show on the example. So I'm trying to go fast because I had a lot of stuff planned. A couple more tips I just wanted to give, and I have these written on your handouts. And I'm just going to go through these fast because I want to invite some conversation into this. So tip one, prepare a budget before each month starts. You don't get any value from it for doing it in the middle of the month. It's a guide. It's a roadmap to tell you where to go. So sit down. I know we're into March. Should be thinking about April's budget now. Tailor your budget down to each month. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every month. You can. One nice thing about Excel is you can just do a save as. And save it as another file name. So you have this as your starting place, and you can delete all the actual out, and then you can just make some minor changes to fit next month. What I don't like, there's a lot of budgeting programs out there, like on cell phones. One thing, its real disadvantage is it just kind of, I don't know, it kind of gets you in the habit of just carrying it over to each month. I like to think about it and tailor it down to exactly what I'm expecting for next month. Another thing about the cell phone apps, they cost money. I like things. Why pay for something that's free? I know some of those apps, they pull the information from your bank account. There's some risks with that. I mean, do you really want them to have your information? Things like that to consider. They are more efficient is the advantage you get over them. Another disadvantage is if you like that idea of using 24 month paychecks when you really get 26 in planning a budget, I've discovered that a lot of those cell phone apps, they just extrapolate an average of your income because they make you input an annual budget. And then they use the average. And, you know, what I don't like about using average is that you don't receive that money in that month. So it's just something to caution about. This should look exactly like your month. You shouldn't use averages. Another tip, as you can see here, they gave every single dollar a name. It came down and balanced to zero. And that's what you have to do. You have to tell your money where it's going. The goal isn't to place restrictions on yourself. The goal is to sit down, just be prudent and control where your money's going. That's the goal. Another tip, update your results daily. It really reduces the burden of keeping track of things. A good system Katie and I have discovered is we actually keep all our receipts and we bring them home. At the end of the day, I sit down and input them and it takes me a minute or two. And then I use Quicken, but I don't use the cost, the Quicken that you pay for. I use the Quicken, the 2004 Quicken that you can download for free. A word of caution on Quicken is that it can get a little tricky. It's, you know, if you don't have kind of an accounting background, a spreadsheet might be more user-friendly. Daily, if you can't make daily, like I said, budgeting an hour on Saturday morning before you start your day might be might be what you need to do. Another tip is to prepare an annual budget. It's good to get a big picture of how things go. I wouldn't prepare. A lot of people recommend starting with an annual budget. I think it's more beneficial to start with each month. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Why focus on so far in the future when you don't have your next step planned out? That's my advice on that. Another tip, and this is just a really, really key thing that I've been saying this to many people, that don't let the person selling you something tell you what you can afford. For example, if you're buying a house, you sit down with the broker, oh, now you're approved for a $300,000 house. Don't let them tell you that that's what you need. Don't fall into that trap. It's not something they can evaluate. They don't know your full situation, no matter how much they know about you. Just don't let it happen. And then the last tip I have is to teach your children this stuff. It's great. Unfortunately, I didn't have it, and I went through college and had many problems because I didn't have this kind of planning. It caused me to take on some student loans that I'm not proud of and that I've worked really hard to pay off. I would have rather had planned it out in the first place. So teach your children this stuff. It's a great, great gift to them. Okay, I just want to open it up to discussion, and if maybe I spoke too fast, or maybe there's something you just say, Andrew, you're way off base here, or maybe there's something that you've found would be helpful for you. Let's just take a couple minutes because we're short on time.
To get started and to make it simple, it's always do the fixed expenses first, like your mortgage, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can at least get started somewhere. Some of those other ones not planning for like quarterly ones, for like ours is water and comes out quarterly, and then we don't have an escrow, so taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you notice, they have a quarterly water and trash utilities, and it's only $7 a quarter, I don't know who they're going through, but I'd like to, they put it in savings, and they save up for each quarter. Great, great tip to do. You could do that with an escrow. There's a lot of bills that you pay quarterly. Just you don't really treat them any different, but that's how I would handle it. It's a great way to plan for it and address it each month. Maybe that, since they're on the biweekly paycheck, maybe that's something they use that extra paycheck to plan for those kind of expenses. Just an idea of how you can plan for it. Chris? What you do is, so for example, we'll just go down. So they budgeted $100 for clothing. It's really up to you how you want to do it, but specific to this month, they didn't spend it. So what they decided to do is put it towards their student loan and end up making that net zero again. Maybe you like to save for clothing, and you say, well, I didn't spend this money, so I want to save it. Well, you can set up kind of a fund. And what I don't have up here is their savings. They would have it in like a savings account or CDs or something. And they don't have like separate savings accounts for each one. They just have a list showing the total savings in each fund, how much money they have to spend. It's just a way of keeping organized. I could bring that to you next week to show as an example, because of a way to keep organized on that. Dan?
One thing we've done is you shop at warehouse, if you have a big family, it's no shame to make them bring up two purchases. So like, because at warehouse, you could be buying clothes, you could be buying groceries and Christmas presents. And at the end of the year, it's amazing how much you spend at Sam's or Costco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good tip to, because then you can make it fit your budget, your receipts, so you have a reference. I've seen some people write where on their receipt which category it goes into, so they have like a paper copy of what happens. Take it from someone who's an auditor and a tax auditor at that. A lot of times, you know, Joe, business owner, will go. Buy some sort of business expense at Walmart, but you know he's also got a PS4, a big screen TV on the same receipt. Well, where does he enter that in his QuickBooks? Well, he enters that under business expense and deducts it on his tax return. Oh, you know, let me tell you. But that's a good technique. He should be. Say, hey, can you ring this up, my business stuff on this receipt and my personal on this receipt?
Just one more tip. If you have any Excel skills, you can copy a tab and play around with it. Keep your
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe you don't want to do the save as technique, and you want to just have, let's say this budget is, we'll rename it to March. Okay, let's start next month. So now you have a, just like that, you have another tab. And you could do this, maybe you want to plan scenarios, like, well, what is my budget going to look like if I do this? It's another way you can use it. It's just a great advantage over the paper version of a budget. Okay, we're short on time, so you're all dismissed. Thanks for coming today.
Shout to the stars.